Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 16 of the Depressed Breakfast Club. This week, we're going to be talking about group chats and how they can play on your mental health. Before we go any further, I'd like to remind everybody that we're not medical professionals. Anything we say in our podcast is of our own free will, and our thoughts only, our opinions. Do not go off your medication without speaking to a medical professional. If you feel like you've hit rock bottom or you need somebody to talk to, Joyelle Hill here is going to give you some phone numbers to contact somebody that can help you with that. To you, Joyelle.
Okay, so if you're feeling suicidal, or you just need somebody to talk to, in Canada, you can call the suicide hotline at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text 45645. And in the US, you can call 988 or text talk to 741-741. So please, if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, please reach out to these numbers and they'll help you. So on to Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. As always, our email is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We're always happy to hear from you guys, no matter what it is. Even if it's just to say hello, we also have our Facebook page at the same name, obviously on Facebook. And I don't think we actually have any other social media, just because none of us really use any other social media other than like my Instagram that I sometimes remember to put the episodes up on. And today's quote is going to be, "People think being alone makes you lonely. Being surrounded by the wrong people is the loneliest thing in the world." And I had to search around for that quote this morning just because I was not prepared. But that one I think is the most accurate one for anything to do with group settings, just because I know it's something that I've had loads of conversations with other friends about, where I personally can feel lonelier in a group of people than I ever do when I'm by myself. Like when I'm by myself, I'm happily off in La La Land, or I'm reading, or I'm watching TV, or I'm just laying, doing nothing, just happy to be in the moment kind of thing. Whereas there's been numerous times where I've gone out with groups of friends and it just feels like you're more of like you're a voyeur, like you're watching the things happen from the outside. Like there's kind of like a glass enclosure around you, and you're just watching the world go by. Like you're not even participating in it. And it's just a really big disconnect for me, where it's just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm out with people. Shouldn't I feel like I'm not alone right now? Like I'm surrounded by whatever, 4 to 10 other people. And yet I'm going, I feel lonelier here than had I just gone home and sat down and played on my phone or played a video game. So yeah. What about for you girls?
Having numerous group chats going right now on Facebook, I can honestly say that there's one or two of them. One definitely, two possibly, that I don't feel alone in. The one that I definitely don't feel alone in is the group chat I have with you and Peanut.
I have to agree with you on that. Like, that's probably my favorite group chat.
I can say anything to you two ladies, and I know I'm not going to be judged. Mm-hmm. Like, I can flippantly say, I was in the car and something struck me as funny and I laughed so hard I peed a little. And you guys aren't going to judge me. I'm not going to hear, oh, you're so gross, why don't you wear some, you know? Whereas in other group chats, if I offhandedly comment that I laughed so hard I peed a little, I'm ostracized. It, like, I'm made to feel like the two children I birthed and the floppy, bendable bladder that I have existing in my body are disgusting.
That's one of those things that, like, so many people, I don't know, I guess I roll my eyes at whenever they're like, oh, that's so gross. Like, I expect that. Like, when I was a teenager, I did not know that was a thing. I learned when I was 16 that that was a thing, because my mom got sick, really sick one time. Like, it was, obviously it was almost 16 years ago now, cause I'm getting older. and I didn't know that it was a thing, that she was coughing and, throwing up, and she would pee herself. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so gross. So at the time, her and I worked at, Kerr's Gym for Women. And, that was when I was informed by the rest of the ladies on the circuit, because I was like, yeah, that's so gross. And they're like, they all turned on me and went, have you not paid attention that when women start to sneeze or cough or laugh, we cross our legs? And from that point on, I could not unsee it, because then it was like, we'd be walking through the grocery store and I'd run up and be like, oh my God, that lady's crossing her legs. She's going to pee herself. Exactly. My mom's like, yeah, see? And I was like, oh my God, all women literally do it. Whether you've had kids or not, it's something that, it's one of those muscles that just naturally atrophy as you get older. Yep. And if you've had weight problems, that's another thing that goes in and takes effect. Or it's like, okay, all women do it. We shouldn't be ashamed. And if you laugh so hard that you pee, that has made my day, and I can go to bed happy that night. That is my goal.
Yeah. So I find that a lot of times being in group chats is, honestly, it's bad for my mental well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Even sometimes being in the company of more than 3 or 4 people is bad for my mental well-being, because I could sit there and not say a word to anybody, and nobody will say a word to me, and mm-hmm. they don't realize that they've completely left me. And I've been in that situation.
Yep.
They've completely left me out of the conversation. Like chicken wing Thursdays.
Yes.
When we used to go out for chicken wings, if I was PCing and I wasn't part of, because, you know, PCs never go on break with their group.
Mm-hmm.
We always have different, our lunch could be 2 hours after your lunch.
Yep.
Type thing. They would bring up things that happened on the floor, and I wasn't privy to that because I was off doing my job in another area. And I wouldn't have anything constructive to add to the conversation. So it would continue on, and it would go all around me. And I just sat there munching on my carrot sticks. I would get in my car, and on the ride home, I'd realize 2 words were spoken to me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 7 people at the table that didn't even acknowledge I existed at that time. What the fuck? You know? And I would get home, and I'd say to Norm, I don't think I'm going to go out anymore. Like, I just feel like I'm not wanted.
Yes.
Have you guys ever felt like that?
Oh, yeah. Especially when going out for meals in the bigger groups like that. Oh, hell yeah. I know I have. I think that's why, for me, I try and do, because I know how it feels, like, I try to make sure that I kind of like talk to everyone at the table. Like, if I see someone's not talking or something like that, then I'll purposely start up a conversation with them to try and make it inclusive, because I'm like, oh, I know what that feels like to not have anything. I'm like, I will talk through people and be like, hey, you at the other end of the table. But what about you, Peanut?
Yeah, I think it definitely it adds to my anxiety. I don't like being I'm not in a lot of group chats, like as far as on the internet and stuff like that. And that, but I find like when I'm like, if even if you go to like a party or out with people, like, or just even at work, like, you have two or three people standing around talking and stuff, or at lunch, I just feel like I sit there and nobody really says anything to me. Or it's like I go to say something or that, and people talk over you, like you didn't say anything, or like you have to repeat yourself, and yet they still like ignore like what you're saying and just continue on with their story or change the subject. And I find I get that a lot, that people just talk over me.
Oh, Peanut, you hit the fucking nail right on the goddamn head.
Oh yeah, she drove that right on through to the
Like,
earth, like it went through all the two by
you hit
fours.
it once, it went through the fucking wood and somewhere in hell right now.
So I find, so yeah, I like a lot of times, even at work, it's weird because like, at breaks and lunch, I have like a group of people I sit with. And even lately, like I just been feeling like I'd rather just sit by myself. And that because I feel like, well, I don't have kids, and I don't have a significant other, and I'm pretty poor. So I don't go on vacations. I don't have like a very, I'm old, so my life is not exciting. And so I feel I don't have a lot to contribute to a conversation to begin with. But yeah, then I just find when I go to say something, like they just talk over you, and it's like, well, I
Well,
didn't even say anything, like I didn't exist. And that, and then some people just never shut up, so you can't even get a word in. You can't even get a word in, and it's like you want to say something, but like they're on to their next topic already.
Yeah. Like even if you do have something constructive to say, and you're waiting for that moment,
Yeah, because you don't
they
want to interrupt
see you.
somebody like I just
They
did to you.
see you waiting to say your piece, and they just fuck you. Away they go.
They go on their merry little way, and you're just kind of like, okay, like I got to
What?
the point where it's like, okay, nope. Now I will talk over the people where I'm like, no, I have a thought to insert here. And then other times I'm just like, I don't even care anymore. I'm just gonna eat whatever my food is. And that's why half the time, like if we're on the same break and we sit together and we're sitting with my group of people instead of yours or our new made up group, then it's I will literally just ignore the conversation going on and be like, so what has worked for you, Joelle?
Because there's one person in your group that, like, she, like,
What?
listen, I know, like, she seems like a very lovely person. Boy,
Sister,
does she not shut up. I
you
swear
nail
to
head
God.
hell.
The one day I thought to myself, I was working, and I said it to Amy on break. I said, I can work next to her. I'm like, because she just talks incessantly. I said that would just, I could not work next to her. I'd have to be moved because I said she just doesn't stop.
Good God.
It's it when I think like you'll understand when we talk about it after the show. It's one of
Awesome.
those things that you like for me, I go into my happy place, so I don't even notice. Like I come back to it and she's like, oh, okay, you're still on that topic. Okay, I'm fine with that. Or I will purposely steer the topics onto things that I want to talk about. So it'll be specific topics where I'm like, I'm happy to talk about this one or this one or this one, where I'm like, okay, yeah, we can talk all we want about these ones. But I'm like, we're just going to veer away from the ones that I don't want to talk about, or I'll just completely zone out on those ones and come back to it. I'm like, yeah.
She knows everything.
Yeah.
There's not a topic she's not a pro on.
I love those kind of people. I know a couple of those kind of people.
Yeah, you do.
But like let's step out of the group chat. And I know we've talked about the social media thing before. You guys saw what I sent you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
At it again.
Yep.
At it again.
Yeah, it's been too quiet for them. That's why. They gotta stir some
shit. That's exactly it. Double toil and trouble.
Been too quiet since I said my piece.
Yeah.
Yes.
But oh look, the nice weather's coming. Let's go fuck some shit up.
Yep, I already say I can guarantee there's going to be a bunch of shit that's going to be posted on the social webs that are going to be specifically meant to ostracize you and make you feel like you're left out.
They've already accomplished that.
It's already been accomplished.
That was accomplished 2 years ago.
We got to start taking pictures of ourselves doing shit.
How dare we enjoy the moments and live in the damn moments because we forget to take the stupid pictures every goddamn time.
I told you guys on Friday it was my 2 year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years ago on Friday, I resigned from my job. This is for our listeners. 2 years ago on Friday, April 21st, I resigned from my job because they were going to fire me. And I resigned so that it was my decision and not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole reason why they were going to fire me was because I had knee replacement, had a hard time walking, and they still required me to walk up 52 stairs every single day. They would not move me to another department, even on my doctor's orders. And when I did hit my knee off the metal railing, because I was a member of the health and safety committee, I reported it to my supervisor. I got suspended the next day because they said I lied about it. And that's why they were going to fire me. So I quit. When I came home, I wrote a status on Facebook that literally said to my friends and my coworkers at workplace, it has been a pleasure getting to know you and working with you. I resigned today. I had 99 comments on that post. It was great working with you.
Mm-hmm.
We may not be coworkers, but we'll always be friends. Do you know how many of those people I haven't heard from since they wrote that?
99?
I was going to say 98, because I'm sure I was one of them. So at least 98.
Literally, Joyelle wrote, who am I going to flash?
That's all I'm worried about, eh?
She's like,
The thing is, some of the people that wrote, I love you, you can't get rid of me, we're always going to be friends, have ostracized me,
mm-hmm.
have literally taken the friendship that we had and kind of pushed it to the back burner. Will still tell me they miss me, but won't fucking include me in anything.
Yep.
Or they just downright no longer talk to me. Like, send a text message. Hey, how's it going? Haven't heard from you in a while. I get no response. How do you think that makes me feel? What do you think that does to my mental health?
Yeah.
Especially when you know I have issues.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're fine, Dana. You'll get over it.
It's like, okay, out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
You're right.
1,000,000%.
Thank you. I will get over it. And you know why I'll get over it? Because I'll find a group of people that actually do fucking like me and don't lie to my fucking face.
Exactly. I think that's the hardest thing. Like with group chats, it's so difficult to kind of have that, like, that easy ebb and flow to it. Like the group chat the three of us have is probably the most natural group chat I've ever had, where there's no just sudden, there's no awkward stops.
Yeah.
Unless, like, usually, like, if suddenly I stop responding, it's usually because I've had to run back out to the floor and I'm going, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap. As I'm running out, they're going, okay, hold on. I had more to say, but I can't finish it before I hit the floor.
I gotta go hide in the toilet.
Oh God, I gotta go to the bathroom. Do what everyone does. Hold on. But outside that, like, I can remember what originally made me think of this for a topic was because I have a group chat, like one of my million group chats that I'm in, because apparently I can't get enough of them. And one of my friends had put something in there that she was having a hard time with the group chat and how it was flowing. Like, she felt like she was being left out for parts of it. And when she had put the post about it, like going back and forth, I had missed part of it, so I couldn't interact with it at the point in time. So then she had messaged me privately and she was like, did I ruin the group chat by bringing it to a halt? She was like, because she got into her own mental health. And she's like, okay, my anxiety and depression are telling me, like, oh my God, what did you do? You shouldn't have said anything. You're an idiot. Why did you say anything about it? Everything was fine. You could have just sucked it up. And I was like, oh no, I just missed it because I was asleep. Like, I was looking at the back of my eyelids and I couldn't respond at the point in time. Like, you didn't ruin anything. Like, I'd rather have you be honest about the fact of this is bothering you. What's bothering you? So that we could change it instead of continuing to go through it and have you feel left out or left by the wayside, because that's how she was feeling at that point in time. It's like, no, I'd rather have you be upfront and honest about it, because that happens in so many group chats, where especially when you have people in group chats that are from different areas around the world, it makes it near impossible to be on 100% of the time, where you miss chunks of the chat. And for me, I'm fine with that. Like, I know that being in a group chat with my friends from Europe is going to be different than a group chat with my friends here in Canada. And even here in Canada, I have a group chat for yet another D&D group, and it's guys, and we range from me here in Ontario, a couple of them out in Alberta. I think one's like down in Florida and I don't know where the other guy is, but we're all over. And there's obviously the different time zones throughout for a couple of us, where even with that, we still figure out how to kind of make it work, but there's still going to be parts where I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed, so I know I'm going to miss like 52,000 messages. I'll figure it out tomorrow. But I find that you have to take that into account. Otherwise, it can be detrimental to your mental health, because then you can feel left out. And I learned a word or a saying. I'm hip with the sayings. What's it called? FOMO.
That's what an old person says.
That's because that's what I am, okay? I am young only in age. As I sit here with my tea in my jammies on my bed doing a podcast on a Sunday, and I'm like, this is awesome. I'm happy.
So I think that it's not necessarily just group chats, and maybe this is like my depression or my anxiety, my mental, like, disturbances. That even, like, just talking sometimes, like, one-on-one with somebody, like, I just feel like half the time when I talk, I'm not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that we all know, like, my issues with my father, and so that's a big one. Like, it's like he doesn't respect when I feel like not getting any respect, and that when somebody talks over you or interrupts you or just blatantly, like, tosses what you say aside, like, it has no
importance.
And I know I love my sister to death, but my goodness, when I talk to her sometimes, she irks me so much, because, like, I don't get to talk to her that often. Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking and like I'm saying something, and in the middle of the conversation she'll start talking to her husband.
Oh,
like telling
I hate
him
that.
Like tell or her son or daughter will come in and she has to tell them something, and it's like I'm like in the middle of telling her something, and I feel it's disrespectful.
Absolutely.
And it really like hurts me mentally, because I feel like, okay, like I haven't talked to you in a long time, and like I'm saying something and you're just either you're not listening because you blatantly just like went off talking to somebody else, and so I feel unimportant and unheard. Mm-hmm.
I think that really hits it on the head. Yeah, the unheard part, because I know that's something that I felt too.
Being unheard has got to be one of the most hurtful things. It's more so when you're trying to tell somebody, maybe it's something like emotional. Or like for me, when I finally got up the courage to start telling people about being diagnosed with clinical depression and being unheard. Mm-hmm. It was hurtful because you look to your friends and your family as your support system. These are the people that are going to help you get through those lows. Yeah, they're going to be there for the highs and it's going to be all fun and games. But when those lows hit and you need them, like you need your friends and your family, and you try to have that conversation with them, and like Joyelle said, they talk over you or you feel very unheard.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can tell you ladies, and you guys already know that I've been on the verge of like considering suicide.
Mm-hmm.
When I told a couple friends that, they like literally what Joyelle said, the one looked at me, changed the subject in the middle of what I was saying with like tears on my cheeks. Changed the fucking subject and started talking to somebody else.
It's just
Yeah, Joyelle, you're heard. You're absolutely 100% heard.
I absolutely know like
with how that Taylor feels. And I.
I absolutely know, like understand how that feels with the thing. Cause like I said, when I took the bottle of pills and I'm at the hospital and I'm crying on the phone for my dad to come pick me up and he says, no, stop being silly. Like,
yeah.
Talk about a good way to not feel heard. Like you're already in a bad place and you're like, really? That was helpful. That was really constructive. Thanks, Dad. Yeah. I'll handwrite the note and add you in and be like, you can thank my suicidal thoughts to my father.
It was like the perfect example of why I was in the situation I was in.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It absolutely backed up why I took the bottle of pills.
Mm-hmm. Hands down.
Yeah. It was everything. So it was like, so it wasn't like, to me, it just solidified. It wasn't just in my mind all this.
I was just going to say, it gave you solid proof. It gave you actual proof to be like, I'm not crazy. He literally just told me, though his daughter is suicidal and in the hospital for a suicide attempt, he went, stop being silly. I am not crazy. He literally just does not care. Like that shows the level of lack of care and interest. Yeah. In your own child's well-being. It's like, that's just mind-boggling to me. Like, I don't even have kids by choice. And my thought is that if I ever had a child, I would do anything and everything in my power to make sure that it felt loved, felt safe, and felt heard. It's like, mm-hmm. that's the part that I'm just like, that's mind-boggling to me, that there's parents out there that do the exact opposite. Your father literally did and does the exact opposite of that. And it's like, yeah. Why? Your sperm went into making this. At least half of this human being is yours. And you're a dick.
Yeah.
And to something that Dana actually said a few minutes ago about the where your friends and family are always willing to be there with you when you're in your high, but like the ones who stick with you during your lows.
Yeah.
I've always said, I don't remember where I originally heard it, but I heard it somewhere in probably a movie because I watched so many of them. But I've always said to people where I have the thought and feeling that if I can't or don't want to handle you at your lows, then I don't deserve you at your highs. Just because I don't get to just choose, like, I don't think I have the right to just choose and be like, oh yeah, well, I only want to deal with you when you're in your happy manic stage. I don't want to deal with you when you're in your depressive stage. Like, that's not, no. Like, okay, well, then I'm not really your friend.
Yeah.
Friendship is accepting the person as a whole.
Mm-hmm. The entire package.
The whole pie. Not with a piece missing. The whole fucking pie.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pick when you want to be somebody's friend. You can't say, oh, you're on top of the wave, everything is great, your life is falling into pieces, let's hang out. Oh man, you're in the shitter, call me when things get better. Mm-hmm. That's not friendship.
Nope.
You're not fun. You're not fun when you're down, right? We only want to be with you when you're fun to be with.
Mm-hmm. And I think that gets really highlighted.
Watch Friends?
Oh God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a million times.
Do you remember Fun Bobby?
Yes. Yes.
That is the perfect example. Mm-hmm. Fun Bobby was only fun when he was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as he stopped drinking and his real personality came out, nobody wanted to be around him because he was no longer fun. It's the same with mental health.
Yeah.
That's number one. I love Friends. Number two, that was a very damn good example.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sometimes
shit comes together in my mind and actually does make a clicking sound.
I feel that Dana too has the perfect example of not being heard as far as her letter that you wrote, you know, to certain people. And it was like they just completely ignored what you said and how you felt. And to this day are still just completely
ignored it
and have just continued on as though you didn't say anything to them.
Yeah.
Just in one ear, out the other, except I don't even think, no, that's not even true, because I don't even think it made it. I don't think it perforated the eardrum. I think it literally just right over the head. And you're like, oh, did she say something?
Maybe it got lost in a cloud of smoke. I don't know.
That was being blown up your ass.
I definitely think whether you're in a group chat or even just like, you know, a normal one-on-one chat or with a couple people, that it really is affects your mental health when people ignore you or talk over you.
Yep.
Like,
so
I'm very happy that my son, who has severe anxiety issues, has no social media. He has Snapchat.
And does Snapchat count as social media? Because I'm like old school. That to me doesn't count as social media. And yet the kids today are saying it counts as social media.
I don't even know really what Snapchat is.
Oh my God. At least I feel slightly younger.
Like a drag queen.
The one that gave me the crazy
those
eyes.
Pictures that those were awesome. God, I laugh so hard.
So Brendan doesn't have social media, and I'm really really happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Sam has social media, but she doesn't really use it. Like her Facebook, you could go on her Facebook and there's nothing on there. She has Instagram, which she finally unblocked me from. Thanks, baby girl. But I mean, I get it. When she was a teenager, you don't want your mother knowing what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get mad. I laughed it off, but it was funny because she started blocking my friends too, thinking that they were spying on her for me. But she doesn't use social media a whole lot either. Mm-hmm. Ironically, because she just defended her thesis, and her whole thesis was on the social media phenomenon of graduate students. But
she's one of the outliers. She's over here like, I don't actually do those things, but I've seen it.
But I mean, I had told both my kids, if you were gonna have social media, to tread the waters lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize that you're going to have keyboard warriors.
Oof.
that are always going to want to argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have those narcissistic complex personalities that think they're always right and never wrong, and their word is the Bible. So, well,
it's easy to be brave
when
you're hiding behind a keyboard and a screen, and there's no consequences to what you say, right?
Absolutely.
So people can be as rude as they want because,
and you know, I don't want to say we've said some shady things on our podcast. We haven't technically been shady, but we have addressed issues where we've come up with, well, where we've talked about instances where we've been unheard, talked over,
mm-hmm.
just downright treated like trash.
Yep.
And I did have one person say to me, you're pretty brave on your podcast. Like, you don't use names, but you call out a lot of people. And I remember looking at that person and saying, yeah, and everything I've said on my Facebook, I fucking said to them. Or like, mm-hmm. everything I've said on my podcast, I've said to them. They're the ones that choose to ignore my words because I'm unheard.
I was going to say, and that's exactly it, is that, like, obviously, Dryell and I have seen, like, you have shared everything with us. We know what's going on in each other's lives. So we can literally back you up and vouch for the fact where it's a no. It's not that you're just, it's not that false, fake, bravado. There we go. Bravado. Where it's, oh yeah, well, because I'm behind a screen and just talking openly. No, you have actually said these things to the people involved. They have chosen to ignore it blatantly and just ignore your wishes. So there's no difference. It's okay. You've talked to their face. You've talked to them in the group chat. You've talked to them through text. You've put things on Facebook, and now you're onto this. You're onto like your fifth or sixth thing where it's like, why wouldn't you talk about it here openly and freely? This tells other people that they're not, it sounds like a weird sentence in my head, but that they're not alone and feeling unheard. Yeah. We have all felt it. We've all been there. We all deal with it slightly differently. Sometimes you talk to the people, sometimes you're just like, you know what, I'm not even going to bother trying anymore because you're not listening to me anyways, so why bother?
And you said it, Taylor, and I kind of want to own it too. You said you've spoken over people.
Mm-hmm.
When you've had something to say and they've kind of started shifting the conversation away from you, I'm going to own it too. I've spoken over people. And mm-hmm. it's not because I'm ignorant or like I think my point is better than theirs. it comes down again to having that feeling of being unheard, nobody listening to you, your words and your thoughts not mattering. Mm-hmm. So you take that stand, you jump up from your chair and you're like, hey, I'm here, listen yep. to me. It's such a...
It's one of those things that I hate doing it because...
Yes.
It's a double-edged sword because I hate the fact that I have to do it. But if I don't do it, then there's times where I'm just not going to get heard. So I literally will just pipe up and be like, hey, stop talking for a second. Let me say what I have to say. Say it. And then I'm like, okay, now if you want to move on, go ahead and move on. I've said my piece. Do it. I would much rather just be able to have a flowing conversation where it goes back and forth between everyone. But I've done it before in conversations where I've seen someone wants to say something and I can say, I wait for there to be a lull in the conversation and then I'll speak up above everyone before they switch off. I'm like, hey, Billy Bob, I saw, like, I can see that you want to say something. What is it? Like, bring into the conversation. And they're like, oh, well, I just wanted to say this. Thanks. And it's like, well, I could tell, like, you wanted to say something. I know what yeah. it feels like not to be heard. And I'll tell these motherfuckers to shut up because I've hit my point where I'm like, I no longer care. I'll be polite. But if you continue to ignore me or to ignore someone else, then I'm going to be the one to come and be like, shut up. All of you need to shut up and let whoever it is, let Joyelle talk. Let Dana talk. Let me talk. We have thoughts too. And you're going to listen to them because I've had to listen to your dumbass ideas this entire time. So guess what? My turn.
Yeah.
Well, but I hate having to go to that point.
I remember one day I was in a group of people and we were discussing something and I was voicing my thoughts and opinions on the subject and I got spoken over and they just kind of like leaned in almost like in front of me, like across my body. They were sitting beside me, like leaned in and like almost crossed my body just to talk over me. And wow. I put my hand on their shoulder and I kind of pulled them back and I said, if you don't mind, I'd like to finish my thought.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for you.
I've never been able to do that again.
And that's so impressive that you did it the once.
I've been spoken over to like numerous times after that.
I have like a silly example of, I feel like this is kind of like, it's a silly example of not being heard. And that was
no silly example.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like a major not heard, but it's a silly example. But I think it was like a few weeks ago, my dad was up here. And during the conversation with my dad, I had talked about the two kittens that I'm getting. And I had brought up pictures that you had sent me.
Right.
The kittens and everything of what they were. And then yesterday I actually was downstairs talking with them, and again I brought up how I'm getting my kittens next week, and I showed his wife a picture because I hadn't shown her pictures of them, and she goes, oh, do you want to see them, to my dad? And he's like, he goes, yeah, I've never seen them. And I thought, seriously? And I think, it's silly that it was just pictures of kittens, but it stems to the fact that, like,
you offered a few weeks ago.
I showed him. He
ignored you.
Yeah, like, he sat there and looked at the pictures and scrolled through them and saw them. And then he's like, yeah, I've never seen him. And it's not just with him. There's so many, I don't know about you ladies, so many times that, like, I'll say something. Like, there's been numerous times I'll be like, I had a day booked off at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to a certain friend of mine, I have tomorrow or I have Friday off. And then Friday comes along And I get a text message. Oh, how come you're not here today? And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I've yep. only been saying all week long that I have Friday booked off. It's like, talk about feeling unheard.
Yeah.
Yep. That's one of those things. Like, that's one of those things. Because my mom and I have our own, basically we have our own nagging love language, I guess. I don't know how better to put it. But so the way that we get each other to actually listen and acknowledge that we've said something before is Helen Reddy is from Australia. And the backstory to this is the fact that I don't know how many times I was surprised that Helen Reddy was from Australia. But probably about a decade ago, I want to say now, my mom and I were driving somewhere and I don't even know why, but I'd seen an interview or something with Helen Reddy and she had her Australian accent. And I turned to my mom and was like, hey, did you know that Helen Reddy's from Australia? Like, I had no clue. And my mom lost her shit because she's like, she's fucking from Australia. You know, she's from Australia. Helen Reddy's from fucking Australia. We've talked about this a dozen times. And I just about peed myself laughing because I had no recollection of it. Clearly it went in one ear and just oozed out the other because there was zero recollection of ever having these conversations. So therefore, but now, you know what? I never forget that she's from Australia.
And your mom went ballistic. Well, yeah, I don't know who that is either.
Have neither. Screw both of you guys. How do you not know?
You beat up.
But you only remembered because your mom went ballistic on you.
No. I was saying, I only remember that she's from Australia because of that. She's from, have you guys seen Pete's Dragon?
No.
The old one? What?
What's no. Pete's Dragon? Are you talking? Oh. Like, I remember the song. Wasn't there a song?
I know.
That's what it was. Oh my God. Puff the Magic Dragon.
Okay. So we need to fix this. To not see this Disney movie. It's from the 70s.
Oh,
it's
my
the old
goodness.
Fashioned.
I have not seen any Disney movies. Almost nothing. Bambi, I've never seen. Cinderella, Snow White. I know the stories. I've read the books, but I've never seen Disney movies.
There went my heart just shattering to the floor.
Taylor's gonna need the defibber.
I grew up when like TV wasn't that, you know what I mean? Outside, playing outside and doing things
you
like that.
Watch the Wide World of Disney on Sunday nights.
Oh my God. I don't even think we got that channel. I grew up out in the county with rabbit ears. We didn't even get cable until I was like almost 20 years old.
Excuse
it
me.
Wasn't even an
cry.
It wasn't even an option out where I lived till then.
Okay, you two have homework now. Like, you need to watch Pete's Dragon because, oh my God, just I can't.
Listen, do you know how many movies I have to watch this week? Because apparently I have to watch Slapshot.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
It's a hockey movie from the 70s.
I remember the name of it, but it's because it's a hockey movie and I don't do the hockey thing. Like, there's a couple that I've
I'm
seen.
I'm sorry. I'm more butch than you are in that aspect.
Yeah, I was gonna say
I like the sports.
I don't do the sport. I'm the lesbian that doesn't do the sports thing where I'm like, I'll play them.
You're the lipstick lesbian.
Hold on, let me get my lipstick on, huh?
If I was a lesbian, I'd be the butch.
You got the plaid, You've got the flad, which is plaid and flannel put together. You've got the flad.
Oh, I've got flab too.
I don't know what kind of lesbian I'd be.
I mean, there's options. We have all of the different varieties here. You have the femmes, you got the stems, you got the studs, you got next, the
next week on our podcast we'll be talking about
and what lesbian do you think you are on today's episode.
Like, I'm not overly feminine. I'm like tomboyish, but I don't think I'd be like a butch lesbian, but I'm not like overly feminine either. So I don't think I'd be like a feminine.
You'd be lesbian. A Frankfurter.
I mean, my lesbian crush is Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, she's pretty. Look at that. She's got a lesbian crush. I'm so proud. I have like 30 people on my Hollywood list.
I don't know who mine would be.
How do you not know? Like, how?
Frankfurter.
I don't know if that, like, I can't even count Frankenfurter as a lesbian crush. That's just like, I don't care what he is. It's like, yep, walking sex.
I don't know. I was watching that.
You know,
This Is My Jam on Monday. And because you sent that like clip, right? But I watched the show that day for the first time, and they had Adam Lambert on it. For some reason, man, he was super sexy.
He is, though.
He reminds me. He's androgynously sexy.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I should add him to my list for men.
Along with Pedro.
Pedro's not on my list. Like, I wouldn't want to like sleep with him. I'd want to hang out with Pedro.
Are you talking about Pedro from like the Tonight Show or something? That little Mexican?
Is there
a delirium, Pedro?
Oh.
I'm like, what? What's sad is I'm like, no, there's only one Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal. I want to eat like mini donuts off that man. I don't care what they're hanging off of at this point.
I think it's with Jimmy Kimmel, whatever, the Late Show with Jimmy Kimmel or something. He has that little, Guillermo, that's his name.
Yes. I know who you're talking about now.
Wasn't that just like, he's Mexican, so he's Pedro.
There goes Trey, I'll get in lots of trouble again.
How dare you not know his name? What's wrong with you?
Oh my goodness.
Mind you, I'm like, who the hell is Pedro? Outside, you know what? Actually, now that I think about it, the only Pedro that I know of is actually Pedro Pascal.
My neighbor is a Pedro, George. George Pedro.
I wasn't expecting the George part.
Wasn't there a Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah.
Yes. Vote for Pedro. Yeah, I guess that counts as a Pedro, yes. Vote for Pedro. Oh, there was a Pedro.
This was one of the questions at trivia yesterday. What was Napoleon Dynamite's pets? What was his pet, Tina? You guys ever seen the movie?
Yeah.
No.
You got homework, Taylor.
You watch Pete's Dragon and I'll watch that.
Okay. It's on.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
What was his pet? A snake?
No, she's an alpaca. Or a llama. All I know is every time he went to feed her, he'd be like, come here, Gina, you fat lard.
I remember seeing that clip.
Vote for Pedro.
Now the only thing that I need to know this week from Dana is, so who's your Hollywood female crush? I know Pedro Pascal.
I will tell you by the end of the show.
Okay, so you have about 10 minutes to figure it out.
Okay, I will.
She's like, hold on, Jennifer I can pick.
Yeah,
in Hollywood, though.
This is why I might, hold on, let me just pull up my list to get the exact number.
Like, she's beautiful, but I find her like, I don't know, I just like, find her funny, kind of. Like, I like her movies that she's in, and that I find her, like, she would just be kind of a laid back type of person.
And I have 26 Hollywood women are on my freaking list.
Oh my goodness.
David Bromstad's on my list too.
David Brom. I can't picture which one he is. Hold on.
Yeah. My Lottery Dream Home.
Oh, he's cute. Oh, and he has tattoos.
He's covered in tattoos.
Damn. Okay, now I see what you now I see what you go. No, I'm thinking you said, does Norm even have any tattoos?
What?
Does Norm even have any tattoos?
He's got one. Got one.
She's not gonna tell us where.
it's on his back shoulder.
No, just kidding.
Venus. Okay. It's $100 bill.
It grows when she
feel like blowing $100.
He got he got a rose. It's a short stem, and then it goes long.
Then it grows
to a long stem.
He's a grower, not a shower.
You guys.
I'm just going to be like, no.
I totally think we got off topic.
I'm not even sure how we turned here. Like, I took that left turn at Albuquerque. What happened? I mean, this will go perfectly with there. I keep looking at my phone and forgetting to look at other things that I was coming here for.
It's a whole other show.
Where the hell did I just put it? There we, nope. Fuck me.
I feel like, remember, like, it was weird because this week I was being like with my deep thoughts, remember?
Yes.
And that, and I feel that like it goes, I guess we're, because we were talking about Disney movies and it goes back to how like growing up we were outside
yes
all the time. So I didn't watch a lot of Disney. So we didn't have social media in that. And so I'm not big now into social media. And I find life, for me, I found it was just so much better without it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself like sitting there and thinking, being nostalgic and wanting those feelings again of just life was easier, was simpler, was funner.
Yes.
Yeah. And it wasn't so serious and that. And I just miss like picking up a phone and calling people. Like, it's weird because we're not allowed to have our phones out at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I put it on silence in my pocket. And yep. Half the time when I come home, I forget to even take it off silent. And that, yep. Like, I just don't have a need to constantly be on my phone or be on social media. And so I guess in a way that doesn't, so group chats, I don't have a lot of them in that. So social media doesn't affect my mentality or my mental health, I guess, that much. Like, it does to a little bit because I'm on Facebook, but I think like talking to people in person,
mm-hmm.
Going to parties.
Oh, you know who that is?
Me.
That's
Scarlett Johansson.
And that's who I thought at first. But it doesn't look exactly like Scarlett Johansson. Who is that?
No, that's who it is.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Is that your lesbian crush?
Yes. Yes.
She is for a lot of people. I was going to say that's a common one.
Yeah. She's cute. I do her.
That's it. I quit. I'm happy. This is the best podcast ever.
Taylor's like, I'm turning on.
Anyone who's in the gay community, at least the older one right now, is going to laugh at the fact of me going, I'm getting my toasters, baby. It counts. I turned them.
My husband may want to join in, though.
You're like, I'm recruiting.
Woo, woo, woo. Toasters, toasters, all the toast. And I was going to say, actually, I mentioned this way back at the beginning of the show when we were laughing at my hipness. But one of the things that I think group chats in general, but like also Discord servers and that kind of stuff, because it's larger groups of people, I had learned a new word or new phrase that's called FOMO. I don't know if either one of you have ever heard of this or not.
Oh, good God.
I can't remember what it stands for.
So it's FOMO for FOMO, and it's fear of missing out.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Yeah. And I had never heard it before, probably, I want to say like 4 or 5 months ago. And someone called one of my friends. They're like, oh, you know, so-and-so is such a FOMO. I'm like, the fuck is a FOMO? I'm like, I'm clearly old because I have no idea. I cannot figure out what those letters would even mean or if I'm saying it right. So, And then they told me what it was. And my friend was like, oh, yeah, I'm a huge FOMO. She's like, I have the biggest fear of missing out. So,
no, absolutely. I'm a FOMO too.
Sentences I never thought that I'd be saying in my life.
I am so not a FOMO. Because I'm apparently I miss out on everything.
Well, I think for me, and this is this is my mental illness talking to me, right? Mm-hmm. I automatically think the second I'm not included in something, that group is talking about me in a negative way.
That would make sense.
So that's where the FOMO would come in for me, because that fear of missing out leads me to believe I and goddamn, my ego is not that big to think that, to even think that people talk about me, never mind behind my back.
Yep.
But like, just honestly, listeners, my ego is not that big. These ladies can tell you. But to have, I have that fear of if I'm not there, they're talking about me in a negative light. And then I start intrusive thoughts.
Yep.
And Jesus Christ, before you know it, I'm on the floor in the fetal position going, the fuck? Because I've literally gone from, woohoo, new video game coming out in a day, to, why is everybody like leaving me out and talking about me? Mm-hmm. And it's just because somebody went like to the fucking grocery store without me. But I'm so FOMO'd at this point. And I don't know, maybe it's emotional scarring from my childhood. I don't know.
It could be. I don't know what
brings it on. Maybe I need to talk to Momo about it, who is my therapist, not to be confused with FOMO.
Momo and FOMO. I need to talk to Momo about FOMO.
I don't have FOMO, but to an extent, I have like the same, I think probably my mental health is, I have the same fear like that people, like if I'm not, like that people are talking about me. And I also have the fear, like yesterday when my dad's wife called and asked me to come downstairs, the first thought in my mind was, what I do now?
Mm-hmm.
And I get that thought, like, even like when I'm at work or something and the supervisor looks at me and that, like, they don't even have to say anything. They just look at me or they start approaching me and I feel like, what I do now? That's my first thought. When somebody comes up to me to start talking to me, is that I've done something wrong.
That is going to be a negative conversation.
Yep.
Yeah.
You Your instantly mind always go into goes that. To the
negative.
Yeah. Even though like half the time, probably 99% of the time it's not. And I was like, just when I went downstairs yesterday too, and I walked in, I'm like, what'd I do now? That was my first words to them. I'm like, did I do something?
Here's Ed McMahon knocking on Joelle's door with this giant check in his hand. And Joelle's like, what'd I do now?
And he's just like, I just want to give you money, ma'am. What's Congratulations, you won.
What's the catch?
You have to take on a sugar daddy.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily that I feel like I'm missing out. I, on the other hand, I'm with you. I feel like people, like if they're like in a group or something, that they're talking about me, or if they like happen just to glance in my direction, even though like how many times, sometimes you just like stare off someplace, you don't realize that you're even looking at somebody.
And
but right away, my thought is they're talking about me. What did I do? Okay. And then I start going to my mind over conversations I had. And it's like, who did I say this to? Did I tell somebody this? Like, do I have a reason? Yeah.
Should I feel guilty?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. Your thoughts are your own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And you get caught in them. And It can be, the results can be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Can absolutely be devastating.
Just it's amazing
to listen to them too.
Exactly. Or say when it's your internal monologue.
Absolutely. Because like, you're talking to yourself, and who's going to give you the best advice? You. And then you're like, getting all this negativity. You're like, God damn, I suck.
God, I'm such a horrible person.
Plus the fact that, like, I would never, what I say to myself, how I treat myself, I would never treat somebody like that. I would never say those things to somebody else. Like,
then why do you say them to yourself?
I don't know, because I feel like, because to me, they're the truth.
I know, for but me. I kind of said that because Taylor and I, you know, we always try to get you to recognize that you're not that. Mm-hmm. So you saying, I would never treat somebody that way. Why do you treat yourself that way?
Yeah.
And it's such a vicious cycle.
It is. I feel I'm I guess I feel I don't deserve, or maybe in my mind, I'm a realist of my own situation. Like, people say, I don't like when people like, you're a pessimist. No, I'm a realist.
Oh my God, I say that so much. It's one of those things where, I've always loved the quote that RuPaul says on her Drag Race, where if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Love
somebody else.
Amen.
Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen.
And I've always agreed with it, because I've always found it to be true, where if you don't find things to love about yourself, then you can't really put that effort forward to loving other people. And because then you're always going to question it in yourself. So it's not that you won't love someone else, you will, but I find that those people tend to be the ones who then question more and more about your own self, where you have more self-doubt, because then you're like, okay, well, I love them, but why would they love me when I have mental health issues? I'm overweight. I don't clean enough. I don't do dishes. And for my one friend, because I'm just remembering like 10 episodes later, she should really clean her drawing room. She told me to guilt her into it like 10 episodes ago, and I forgot.
Taylor's friend, clean your drawing room, please.
I could be able to. I'm going to post this episode and tag her in it and be like, here you go, I did the thing.
Us here at the Depressed Breakfast Club would like you very much to clean your drawing room.
Get a vacuum. You can do it.
We love you. You got this. Whoa.
You got like, this, girl.
Woo-wee. Get a vacuum.
Vacuum. Vacuum.
Buy a Swiffer, for God's sakes, woman.
I just remember her telling me, it was back when we were talking about, what was it? We were talking about like
tidy house, tidy thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's the one that it was, where she's like, ah, you guys made me feel guilty. Now I had to go and do my laundry. She's like, could you do that again? I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give you a shout out. And then I forgot. So now she won't have a clean room.
on your comment about RuPaul.
Yes.
Since we're close to wrapping this up anyways.
Yes, we are.
Listeners, last week we introduced music at the beginning of our podcast and at the end, and that music is comes from RuPaul's Drag Race. Taylor and I are Joyelle, I'm gonna include you in here too, we're big fans of drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor and I have watched probably every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, and offshoots.
Yep.
Go to the shows. So
take my money.
So please email us. Let us know if you like the music, if you think it adds a little extra something to the podcast, and if it's appropriate for our discussions.
I think the section that you took was kind of the perfect part, just because I remember listening to it, and the exact lyrics that you like clipped out for it, I think go kind of perfectly with it, because I want to say that it was the part where he's talking about like love and all that, and like loving each other. And I feel like that's just, it's a perfect complement to what we strive for here, with the support and love and just
a little being bit together. Of love goes a long, long way.
Thank you. I could not think of those lyrics to save my life. But I knew there was love in there.
I'm in the kitchen to myself while I'm like peeling carrots and be like, a little bit of love.
Like, skin that carrot, skin that carrot. Yeah, yeah.
Woo, woo, bye to you.
Next thing you know, you just have a pile of shredded carrot.
Guess what, guys? We're having shredded carrot for dinner tonight.
Shredded carrot and salad.
All right. Now, as always, what's something that you each love about yourself? Joyelle, you're first.
Pew, pew, pew.
I don't know what that was. It's just...
All right. I don't think that... I don't think I used my resilience.
I think that was last week you used that one.
Or... No, she did not.
No?
You stopped.
Oh, no, that was you. I couldn't remember if it was you or her who used it. I'm like, someone just used that. I think that was Dana.
Like, you know, my ability to overcome.
Yes.
I guess.
Bravo. I like that, and I think that's very fitting for you.
Yes.
Especially right now.
I was just gonna say that exactly. And Dana, now that we know that your lesbian crush is Scarlett Johansson, now the next important thing is, what do you love about yourself? What will you use to lure her into you? They can't see your face, and I can. That's amazing.
Her boobs.
No. What do I love about myself?
Ooh, we had to make her think this week. Peanut had it right away. Sour bacon over there. Like, I can smell bacon cooking.
This is, pardon the phrase, this is going to sound gay.
I'm here for it.
But I honestly, I am proud of the fact that I was able to sit through my daughter defending her thesis,
mm-hmm.
being bombarded with questions, answering them like an absolute fucking pro.
Yeah.
The four-person panel deliberating for about, I don't know, half of a Rice Krispies square. Calling her back in and applauding her for passing and asking her when she was going to go for her PhD.
Damn.
And I never shed a tear.
You did? Proud of that. I won't lie. I figured you'd be proud, mama tears all over your face.
Proud of her steel tear ducts.
We went out for drinks beside Rock Bottom there at the Sandwich Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard
Sandwich
of it.
Brewing Company. And her one professor, Bonnie, met us there. And it was just really nice to hear her like talk about how proud of Sam she was. And look at me, I'm gonna cry now.
where are those steel tear ducts now?
She is a proud mama right now.
Yeah. Cry away.
You cry all you want.
It was nice to hear that, because I like, I'm not gonna take all the credit for my daughter's accomplishments, but I mean, I did give birth to her, so I'm proud of that.
I think that's something good to be proud of. Like, you made a good human being. You baked it. Yeah,
that's right.
I baked it out.
I baked the bun.
You baked it good.
And I took it out of the oven when it was ready.
And she is now an amazing member of society, and she has helped building it and making it better. She is the future, and she is a bright future.
So now I have to look to see if the university is hiring for lunch ladies. And see if I can get a job there, because if I can get a job as a lunch lady, then Sam can take her PhD for free.
Oh my goodness. There's a reason, eh? God, if that wasn't an incentive.
Right? I was gonna say that right there. It's nice. Like they take care of their own over there with that.
With a hairnet slopping down some grub.
You want fresh with that?
You should have seen me before I started work at VP, because I worked at Villanova in the cafeteria.
See, there you go. She's already got practice in.
That's right. I have literally the experience.
She's ready.
I know the Sloppy Joe song.
She is ready for this more than anyone out there I know. So well, university.
Don't ask what's in the coleslaw.
It's special sauce.
Like Bonnie said, it can take 7 years to get your PhD.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
And it's about $100,000.
Yep. Yeah, well, I would go serve some lunch too, Dana.
So, I mean, imagine if
that was
I was able to get a stupid job in the cafeteria,
mm-hmm.
and my daughter could go back to the University of Windsor for free to get her PhD.
Yep. Yeah,
it'd be such a huge difference. It really would.
Bonnie told her to apply for jobs at the U, because smart. Even if Sam worked there, she would be able to do it for free.
That's true. That's smart.
Yeah.
Look at you being a proud mama. You're like, you got this, baby. You got this.
Oh my God. I'm going to be like, I can't, I'm not even going to guarantee that on June 2nd, I hold my shit together.
You're going to
That's your graduation.
Hands down, you're gonna cry. We're gonna get pictures and videos.
I'm gonna be like fucking ugly face crying. I'm gonna take selfies and send them to you guys.
We're gonna be there for it and be like, that's our girl. Yeah, Sam.
And I mean, last name is with an S, and they go alphabetically, so God knows when.
Oh, good God.
You're gonna be there for hours. You're gonna be crying partially because of her going on stage, partially because you're happy you're near the end, and partially because your ass has gone numb and your knee hurts.
Well, I got to do prom pictures afterwards. I have a prom picture job afterwards.
You're gonna be a hot mess.
Oh, I am. I'm. Oh yeah.
But a proud mama nonetheless. So I think that's a very good thing to say that you love. It shows that you love your baby girl, and that you also are proud of your accomplishments of being able to
birth her,
birth her, and give someone so beneficial to society. And I can't wait to see the things that she does.
Thank you.
I think it's very good. Actually, so weirdly enough, last night while laying in bed, and this is going to sound weird with that as a preface.
You think about how great you are?
I'm so amazing and fantastic. I thought of two things. One, I'm saving for next week because I'm thinking ahead. But the thing that I'm going to go with is actually my fingers. Fingers and basically hands. Like, I don't know why. I just love them. Go ahead. Say it. Say it, Joya.
No, I can't. I can't. Oh, the my mind just went right in the gutter.
Why?
I'm right next to you.
I'm sitting there next to you too, going, hold on.
You're a lesbian and you're like, what I love about myself, my fingers. Like, how would you
do that? I am so excited to say it. I knew.
I'm sure there's a lot of women out there that love your fingers.
Damn right, bitches. Yeah.
Oh. What's so God. I'm gonna regret this. What is so great about your fingers? That you love them.
Well, you asked, Troya.
They're dexterous.
I was just gonna say that. God damn it.
They're slender.
Because
they're dexterous.
I was saying, because I play guitar, they can do things at different times, different patterns. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm so glad I got to say that. I've been waiting here patiently this entire episode.
Now, I'm going to save it for next week, but if we're going down this road, there's some body parts on me that I'm loving.
See, there we go. I say, and hell yes, that is what this is for. You can love anything from physical things to non-physical things. It's just important about things that you love about yourself.
Maybe a few guys love them too.
Oh, I so can't wait for next week now.
Well, I've already seen your bra, so.
Yeah, those aren't impressive.
Thank God you were wearing one that day.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought too.
That's still the best day out at VP I've ever had.
Oh my God, I love this podcast. I love you, girls.
That's like afraid to breathe, reaches for a box, slaps me.
Does this help me get the box?
The look on your face is sure the look on my face.
Oh, am I hired?
The look of disappointment when she realized you didn't have anything.
Can I get the job, Miss Ma'am?
You're not in charge of hiring.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, I love her. I love. So all much right. Love. So,
on that note, whew. Thank you all for listening. It's been another great week. Taylor's going to give your email address again when she says goodbye.
She's going to talk.
When I'm done laughing. Okay. Now that I can bring it back in. Okay, so first off, next week's episode is actually going to be, this one's probably going to be more on a me side talking, and I'm fully prepared for this being one-sided and hearing you guys going, what the fuck is wrong with you? But next week is actually going to be kind of about like obsessive romantic daydreams, so to speak, and how it impacts your mental health, because one of my friends and I, actually the one who I just did the shout out for the cleaning her house, her and I have had extensive conversations about it, and we laugh hysterically at the things that we do in our daydreams. And the disturbing part of when we're like, well, yeah, you know, if I hurt myself in my own daydream, no one else can hurt me as badly. And, you know, that might be a little bit worrying when you think about it. And it's like, that might not be great for mental health. So I told her, I told her months ago, I was like, oh, I'm putting that on the podcast. That's going to be a thing. I was like, I need to know other people's thoughts on this and if they do it and to what level they do it and how it affects their mental health compared to mine. Like, have you made yourself cry? No? Oh, okay. So that'll be next week's topic.
Daydream, but they're not romantic.
It can be about any sort of daydreams. Like, that's just the one that I wrote down for as I was going through writing down all of my episode
okay ideas. Well, then I may be able to join the conversation.
Oh good, this is going to be a very good conversation. I cannot wait for this one because I am sure it's going to be entertaining. So that's going to be next week's episode, and then the following week is going to be the good one about narcissists. We're almost prepared. There
we may go over an hour on that one.
Oh yeah, we've already gone over an hour on this one. People will be so okay. Happy.
Sorry folks,
we try to keep it to an hour, but we suck at that. So our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. please do reach out to us if you obviously, like Dana said, if you like the beginning, if you don't like the beginning with the music, if you think that there's a better song that matches with it, or if there's like a better set of lyrics that you guys can think of. We promise we won't sing them. We will only use actual songs because we're not built that way. At least I know I'm not, unless you two want to start a solo singing career and I'm just unaware.
No, no, I'm good.
The talent up there is like, oh yeah, I've got this. The nervous laughter. So please reach out to us. We love to hear from you guys. And for once, I'm actually going to make Joyelle say goodbye.
Oh, well, Goodbye.
And now goodbye, back to everyone. Dana.
Have a good day.